يَا أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ حَرِّضِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَى الْقِتَالِ إِنْ يَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ 20 صَابِرُونَ يَغْلِبُوا 200 وَإِنْ يَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ 100 يغلبوا 1000 من الذين كفروا بأنهم قوم لا يفقهون.
O Prophet, rouse the believers to fighting. If there be 20 of you who persevere, they shall vanquish 200. And if there be of you 100, they shall vanquish 1,000 of those who disbelieve. For they are a people who lack understanding. For they are a people who lack understanding. What is nowadays called morale has been described as understanding in the Quran. The Quranic expression is more scientific than the currently used word morale. For the word in this context refers to the one who is fully cognizant of his objective, who is quite clear in his mind that the cause for which he has staked his life is much more valuable than his own life. And hence, if that cause is left unrealized, his life will lose all its worth and meaning. Such a conscious, committed person actually becomes many times more powerful than he who fights without any consciousness of his cause, even though the two might be comparable in physical strength. Above all, he who has a clear understanding of the reality of his own being, of God, of his relationship with God, of the reality of life and death, and of life after death, who is also well aware of the difference between truth and falsehood, and the consequences of victory of falsehood over truth, his strength surpasses by far the strength of others for whom, even though they understand, their consciousness is related to nationalism or patriotism or class conflict. It is for this reason that the Quran declares that a believer with understanding is 10 times stronger than an unbeliever. For the believer understands the truth, and a non-believer does not. It may be remembered, however, that the verse also mentions another important factor in addition to understanding, which makes a believer much stronger than an unbeliever, and that is patience.
الآن خفف الله عنكم وعلم أن فيكم ضعفا فإن يكن منكم 100 صابرة يغلبوا 200 وإن يكن منكم 1000 يغلبوا 2000 بإذن الله والله مع الصابرين.
Allah has now lightened your burden, for He found weakness in you. So if there be 100 of you who persevere, they shall vanquish 200. And if there be 1,000 of you, they shall, by the leave of Allah, vanquish 2,000. Allah is with those who persevere. They shall, by the leave of Allah, vanquish 2,000.
This does not mean that since the faith of Muslims had declined, their 10 times superiority over the unbelievers had been reduced to 2x only. What it means is that ideally, a Muslim is 10 times stronger than an unbeliever. However, since the Muslims had not as yet been thoroughly trained and had not reached the desired level of maturity in their understanding, they are asked not to feel uneasy, at least of challenging an enemy which is 2x as strong. It should be borne in mind that the Quranic directive was given in 2 after Hijri, 624 CE, when most of the Muslims, being recent converts to Islam, had undergone little training. As they gained maturity under the Prophet's guidance, the desired ratio of 1 to 10 between the Muslims and the unbelievers was established. That Muslims are 10 times stronger than unbelievers is a fact witnessed frequently in the battles during the life of the Prophet, peace be upon him, and of the rightly guided caliphs.
ما كان لنبي أن يكون له أسرى حتى يثخن في الأرض تُرِيدُونَ عَرَضَ الدُّنْيَا وَاللَّهُ يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةَ وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ
It behoves not a prophet to take captives until he has sufficiently suppressed the enemies in the land. You merely seek the gains of the world, whereas Allah desires for you the good of the hereafter. Allah is Almighty, All-Wise.
لولا كتاب من الله سبق لمسكم فيما أخذتم عذاب عظيم
Had there not been a previous decree from Allah, a stern punishment would have afflicted you for what you have taken.
فَكُلُوا مِمَّا غَنِمْتُمْ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ
So eat that which you have obtained, for it is lawful and clean, and fear Allah. Surely, Allah is ever-forgiving, most merciful. So eat that which you have obtained, for it is lawful and clean, and fear Allah.
In attempting to explain the circumstantial background of the above verse, some commentators on the Quran have referred to the deliberations for deciding the fate of the Quraysh captives after the Battle of Badr. In that council, Abu Bakr pleaded to release the captives in return for ransom, while Umar suggested that they should be put to the sword. Preferring Abu Bakr's suggestion, the Prophet, peace be upon him, set all the captives free in return for ransom. However, God disapproved the decision, as is evident from the above-quoted verse. The viewpoint of the commentators can be faulted on the grounds that they failed to offer any persuasive explanation of this part of the same Quranic verse, had it not been for a previous decree from Allah. This could mean either the divine decree in eternity, which determines all that will happen, or God's decree in eternity to make the spoils of war lawful for the Muslims. Now, it is evident that it is unlawful to take anything from someone else. It has been declared lawful according to revealed law. Hence, were the above view to be accepted, it would mean that all, including the Prophet, peace be upon him, had committed a sin. Such an interpretation can hardly be entertained, especially since this view is dependent on the authority of isolated Ahad traditions. In my opinion, in order to understand the above verse, it should be borne in mind that preliminary instructions about war had already been given in Surah Muhammad, which was revealed before the Battle of Badr. Therefore, when you meet the unbelievers in fight, smite at their necks. At length, when you have thoroughly subdued them, bind a bond firmly on them. Thereafter, either resort to generosity or to ransom until the war lays down its burden. Muhammad 47:4. This verse had already made it lawful for the Muslims to hold the enemy in captivity or to accept ransom contingent on the total suppression of the enemy. The Muslims had, therefore, acted in accordance with the permission granted by God to accept ransom. However, in so doing, they had neglected the stipulation that the enemy should be fully subdued before the acceptance of ransom. While the Quraysh army was retreating, many Muslims took to collecting the spoils and taking the unbelievers as captives. It was only a few Muslims who chased the fleeing enemy. Had the Muslims made a concerted pursuit, a death blow could have been struck at the Quraysh power once and for all. God therefore expressed his disapproval of this manner of dealing with the situation, as the above-quoted verse suggests. It is obvious that it is not the Prophet, peace be upon him, but the generality of Muslims at whom the reproach is directed. The purpose of the verse is to impress upon the Muslims that they had not yet imbibed the mission of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Prophets are not concerned with filling their coffers with spoils and ransom money. Rather, their mission is to crush the power of the unbelievers. This was not the first instance when the Muslims had showed their worldliness. They had earlier expressed their preference to raid the trade caravan to fighting against the Quraysh army. Then, rather than try to crush the enemy, they turned to collecting spoils and taking captives, and later remonstrated about the distribution of booty. Had it not been that God had granted them permission to accept ransom, see Muhammad 47:4, he would have severely punished them on that count. God, however, was merciful to them and permitted them to enjoy whatever they had seized. They should therefore refrain from behavior which might be displeasing to God. It is pertinent to point out that Jassas, in his Ahkam al-Quran, considers the above view a plausible interpretation of the verse. Ibn Hisham also contains a report which supports the view. The report mentions that while the Muslims were engaged in seizing captives of war and collecting booty, the Prophet, peace be upon him, observed signs of disapproval on the face of Sa'd bin Mu'adh. The Prophet, peace be upon him, asked him, "O Sa'd, it appears that you do not approve of the behavior of these people." He replied, "Yes, O Messenger of God, it is the first encounter in which God has caused the rout of the unbelievers. This opportunity should have been better utilized for crushing the unbelievers thoroughly rather than for amassing captives of war."